Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 24th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled, We're Not Throwaway People, Danville Natives to Share Stories of Redemption After Incarceration. And this is written by Kegla White in Danville. Two Danville Natives are among several speakers who will be sharing their stories of redemption after incarceration at an Urbana event on Saturday, April 26th. Damon Rowell and Jessica Reitzman will share their stories on stage as part of the Voices of Freedom speaker showcase happening at 5 p.m. on Saturday at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center at 202 South Broadway Avenue in Urbana. Doors open at 4:30. The goal of the event, according to the project director Crescent Crew Stubbs, is to inform, educate, and inspire people about the power of second chances. These are humans behind the headlines. They're not throwaway people. They can come back from it, and these people are giving back to their communities that they may have once harmed, said Stubbs. We want the public to know that you can come back from making a mistake. They're not forever their mistake. Everyone deserves a second chance, Stubbs said. Stubbs, who will be sharing his story of redemption after incarceration as a U of I student majoring in communication. He was previously a keynote speaker at the UIUC's Diversity and Social Justice Education Friday Forum. Danville native Reitzman, who graduated from Attica High School in Indiana, had begun building her life before drug addiction took it over. Rowell endured years of gang violence and addiction before his incarceration. A fourth speaker, Carlos Harvey of Champaign, Urbana, who became a master barber, licensed instructor, and youth mentor after his own incarceration, will also be sharing his story. The event will be hosted by Cardell Sims, a national speaker, nine-time author, master certified empowerment coach, and a reentry consultant who first entered the criminal justice system at just 15 and has now dedicated his life to helping people re-enter society and prevent them from going back into the system. Among those attending the event will be the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign students, some professors like Mardia Bishop, who is the Director of Public Speaker Instructions at UIUC, even offered their students extra credit to attend the event. Admission to the event is free, but seating is limited. Those interested in attending can RSVP by visiting www.ucimc.org/voices-of-freedom. I'm trying just to heal people, including the person speaking, because they are walking around with this trauma they haven't unpacked, Stubbs said. I'm also trying to heal the youth by saying, hey, you're not the worst. Your worst mistake if you're already messed up, and if you haven't, let me tell you about it. About reality. Don't make the same mistakes like I did, Stubbs said. Next story is titled "Shooting Victim to Be Honored at May Day Ceremony." Area residents invited to attend March and May Day events, and this is again written by Kegla White. This weekend, a Danville man who was shot and killed more than 55 years ago will finally receive the honor he deserves. W. Dell Cooper will be recognized at an event at 9 a.m. Saturday outside Kruger Cone Funeral Home in Danville. While working at the Veterans Affairs Hospital on May 13th of 1970, Cooper was shot to death by Coleman G. Gish, a former patient of the facility. Reverend Gerard Leverins, the hospital chaplain, and Bessie Miller, the laundry superintendent, were also shot and killed by Gish in his 20-minute shooting spree, which took place across five different buildings on the campus. Dr. Roger Arnold, director of psychiatric services, was also shot but survived. Cooper was sitting in his office talking with his wife on the phone when he was killed. The assailant killed himself after after stealing a car and being pursued by police. Before working at the VA, Cooper served as a staff sergeant in the Marines in World War II in the Southwest Pacific Theater. He also participated in the retaking of Guam from the Japanese, according to press release from the East Central Illinois Building and Construction Trades Council, known as ECIBCTC, who are hosting the event. Originally from Indiana, Cooper had worked for the VA and in Alabama before moving his family to Danville so they could be closer to family. At the time of his death, Cooper was serving as the Director of Volunteer Services for the Danville VA, a job he had taken for only a year before. Jeff and Steve Cooper, who were only 13 and 19 years old at the time of their father's death, still live in the area. Dad came from a humble background and believed in helping people, especially those in need, said Jeff. He was a wonderful father and a husband. The Danville Memorial was built in 1993 and includes the names of more than 35 area residents who have died while on duty. While Leverin's and Miller's names were added to the memorial, Cooper's name was missing until recently when the ECIBCTC took charge of the memorial. Mr. Cooper was an American hero who served our country overseas and continued to serve here at home, said Kevin Sage, president of the association. His death was an absolute tragedy, and adding his name to this memorial is something that this is long overdue. Illinois State Representative Paul Faraci is expected to provide remarks at the event. The group believes there may be others who have been killed while on the job. We know there are more than just those whose names are on the memorial today. We hope their friends and family members will reach out to us and bring attention to their loved ones, said Connie Ostrander. Those who would like someone's name added to the memorial should contact her at ostrander, Connie40@gmail.com, or at 217-418-0944. The Workers' Memorial event is among hundreds of such events happening across the nation. It was started more than 50 years ago with the signing of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, known as OSHA, which helped set standards for workplace safety. May Day March. Like the Workers' Memorial event, May Day, a way to honor wage labor workers, is also celebrated each year on May 1st as a way to honor laborers. May Day commemorates what came to be known as the Haymarket Affair, which began in Chicago on May 1st, 1886. Several workers and police were killed and were wounded in multi-day clashes that ended when a bomb was detonated while workers were striking to secure the 8-hour workday, according to the Library of Congress. On Thursday, May 1st at 4:30 p.m., there will be a May Day March, beginning at the Social Security office in Danville. The march is hosted by Indivisibles of Vermilion County, a local branch of national movement intended to protect democracy and fight for dignity, justice, and public investment in our lives, not billionaire empires. Across the country, from fruit fields in California to classrooms in Chicago, from kitchens in Queens to loaded docks in Atlanta, working people are rising up. We are laborers, parents, immigrants, educators, students, and neighbors demanding stronger, safer, and more dignified communities, read the press release. The group will be marching for some key demands, including an end to what they call corruption of the hands of the Trump administration, protection from programs like Social Security, the United States Postal Service, Medicaid, Medicare, and other programs on which working people rely, fully funded schools and health care for all, an end to deportation and imprisonment without due process. The march will take place from 4:30 to 6 p.m. and cover downtown Danville and ending at the Danville Post Office. And there's a picture of W. Del Cooper poses for a photo with his own twin sons, Jeff and Greg Cooper, who were only 13 years old at the time of the death. Cooper will be honored at Workers' Day Memorial event at 9 a.m. Saturday, April 26th at Groger Cohn Funeral Home in Danville. Next story is titled Growing Community, Rossville to Install Community Garden, again written by Kegla White. And there's a picture of Rossville residents Renee Ward Center and Louise and Walter Dean pose on the site of the future community garden plot on Dell Street. Behind them stands a small apple tree that neighbors share apples from. The tree was the inspiration for planning the community garden on the empty plot. An empty lot in Rossville will soon be sprouting vegetables for the community to share, thanks to a group of volunteers and master gardeners in the area. Renee Ward, a resident of Rossville whose parents live a few streets over from the empty plot on Dell Street, said she first got the idea when she saw her parents carrying a bucket of apples home after a walk. I saw they were bringing these apples home, and I'm like, you guys don't have an apple tree. Where are you getting these from? And they said, oh, it's from this empty lot. Everyone's going and getting these apples. Ward decided to find out who owned the land and was pleasantly surprised to learn it was owned by the village of Rossville. So she petitioned a couple of trustees to sign on to the idea of installing a community garden on the plot, she said. It was an easy sell, to be honest. Everyone at the village is really excited about it, Ward said. Officially designated, Rossville trustee and newly elected mayor Phil Black ran on a platform that included the community garden. I am very community based, both for current and future generations. These are things we can do now to improve the livability of the community, or just make it nicer and more fun. But to help senior citizens out more, to help people with food insecurity, those in low income situations, single parents, Black said, we already own the property and it's just sitting there and we're mowing it every week. So why not give some of the produce away to those who need it, Black said. Though this is currently the only official community garden in Rossville, Black said, depending on how it does, they could be more, many more in the future. Something as simple as a community garden can provide so many different values. We couldn't not do it, honestly, Black said. I expect to take a year or two to really go off, but we own more properties, and if it goes crazy, we can do it more than on one property. At Monday's village council meeting, the ordinance to designate the empty plot as a community garden passed unanimously. Food insecurity. All this currently stands on the empty plot are a large silver maple and a Bradford pear tree, something Ward said will be removed soon as it's an invasive species. It's a really interesting apple tree too. I don't know the variety, but it creates humongous green apples that are like Granny Smith in texture, but really sweet, Ward said. I mean, you'll see people take buckets away. It is a prolific producer, and I think it was really a really good symbol of what that property could be. How many people can benefit from it, Ward said. It's just a beautiful tree. With just over 1,000 residents, 12.9% of Rossville struggles with poverty, according to the report by Deloitte and Data USA. Where poverty reigns, food insecurity is never far behind, something Ward hopes planting a community garden could help alleviate, she said. I thought it would be an excellent thing for our community to foster cooperation, she said. Also, we can get more people active in it to make it more even more productive than just one apple tree. Volunteers. In the next few weeks, Ward estimates work crews will come in and begin marking off the plot and installing a water spigot. Then a volunteer will begin tilling and preparing the soil for planting. The village crew is going to put in a spigot for us so we can have to get Julie down here and do all the so she can install it. And then we've got a local guy that we're going to have clear us the spot and remove the sod, she said. The garden will be planted and maintained by local volunteers like retired couple Louise and Dean Walter. We're retired and just found out that we love gardening, said Louise. We met Renee and found out that we have a lot of similar interests, and she told us about this, and we were super excited. The Walters took a winter sewing class through the University of Illinois Extension Office at the Ileana Veterans Affairs campus. The couple were able to successfully sew several plants in plastic jugs, including a new different type of tomato plant, zucchini, and lettuce. They plan to transplant their seedlings into the community garden once the danger of frost has passed, after Mother's Day being the general rule of thumb, Dee said. Plans. The community garden will also receive the tender, loving care it needs thanks to master gardeners in the area, Ward said. We have a couple of master gardeners in town that are planning to help us with some native plant sourcing as well as garden planning, she said. The group plans to install native plants for pollinators and heirloom plants and to use organic practices, Ward said. Once vegetables are ripe for harvest, Ward said, any and all are welcome to come and take what they need, regardless of their involvement in planting and maintaining the garden. We'll have kind of a do what you can, take what you need policy, she said. In the future, Ward hopes the garden will also be certified as an official Monarch Butterfly Way Station. In order to receive certification, gardens must meet certain habitat criteria that support monarch butterflies throughout their life cycle. These include at least 6 hours of direct sunlight per day, a water source, light well-draining soils to avoid root rot and promote healthy plant growth for monarch food and egg nests. At least 10 milkweeds must be planted, as monarch butterfly larvae, once they hatch, are only able to eat milkweed to survive. Milkweed and nectar plants must be planted closely together to provide shelter from predators and the elements. The group also has plans to install a free farmer's market on the plot, Ward said, so that those who are incapable of participating can still come and collect veggies. There will also be a delivery service to bring free produce to seniors and those who are homebound, like mothers with small children and others. Those interested in volunteering to plant, weed, maintain, and harvest the community garden in Rossville are invited to reach out to Ward by email at renerin@gmail.com. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Jackie Sue Calvin, 86, of Danville, passed away at 8:59 a.m. on Thursday, April 17th at Accolade of Danville. We will gather to celebrate Jackie's beautiful life on Friday, April 25th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Pastor Greg Taylor will officiate the service, and she will be laid to rest at Walnut Corner Cemetery. Friends and family are invited to pay their respects during the visitation on Thursday, April 24th from 4 to 7 at Sunset in Danville. In honor of Jackie's love for Illinois sports teams, please join the family in wearing Cubs, Illini Bears, and Bulls gear for the visitation and service. In remembrance of Jackie's kind and generous heart, memorial contributions can be made in her name to the Alzheimer's Association. Robert Del Monte, a dedicated educator and a beloved community leader, passed away on April 19th at Goldwater Care Nursing Home at the age of 83, surrounded by the loving family. A celebration of life will be held on Monday, April 28th, 10 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, Houghton Leisure Chapel, located at 200 East West Street in Georgetown, Illinois. Greg Taylor will officiate. Burial to follow at Forest Park Cemetery. A visitation will be held on Sunday, April 27th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Robert's name to either Miss Piggy in Georgetown or Vase Foundation. Deborah Ann Debbie Zebert, age 865, of Vetersburg, Indiana, passed away on April 10th in Avon, Indiana, born in Mount Vernon, Missouri. A celebration of life will be held May 3rd at Community Bible Baptist Church in Vetersburg from 1 to 4 p.m. Friends are encouraged to bring stories of how they were touched by Debbie's life. And Phyllis Miller, age 93, of Ridge Farm, passed away peacefully at her home on April 3rd. A celebration of life for Phyllis will be held at 12 p.m. on Saturday, April 26th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, Houghton Leisure Chapel at 200 East West Street in Georgetown. Gary Ross Romeser and Mindy White will officiate. Burial will follow at Forest Park Cemetery. Visitation will be from 10 to 12 p.m. on Saturday, April 26th at the funeral home in Georgetown. Immediately following the burial, a dinner will be served at the Ridge Farm Friends Church at 19 East North Street in Ridge Farm. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that you give to the Ridge Farm food pantry or a food pantry of your choice. Okay, the next article is Darren Hightower to speak at Noon Kiwanis Club. Darren Hightower, the organizer of Darren Kids 2, will be their guest speaker. Anyone who is interested in helping their community and children around the world is welcome to join the club. Applications will be available. The Danville Noon Kiwanis Club will be meeting today at Danville Public Library. And there's a picture of Kiwanis board members from left to right: Tom Davis, Mark Kaiser, Mary Lovejoy, Mark Garrett, President Dave Anderson, Emily Duncan, Joe Rotman, and Kelly Eagle will be hosting guest speaker Darren Hightower on Thursday, April 24th. Next story, Dana Mann dies after being shot by police. And this is written from the Tribune Star staff report. A Vermilion County man died after being shot by police Wednesday morning. Dead is Michael Landers, 57, of Dana. Detectives of Indiana State Police post at Putnamville, Indiana, will conduct the shooting investigation at the request of Vermilion County Sheriff Mike Holtkamp. About 6:45 a.m. Eastern Time, Vermilion County deputies and ISP troopers were dispatched to the residence in Dana on a report of a man pointed a firearm at another person, according to a news release from Sergeant Matt Ames of ISP Putnamville Post. Ames said arriving officers assumed defensive positions as a man came out of the residence and vanished a firearm. The sheriff then asked for the help of the Terre Haute Police Department's special response team. When the team arrived, the man was outside and visibly armed, Ames wrote. He pointed a weapon directly at officers, prompting the officer to fire, shooting the man. Ames said the THPD unit's trauma team provided immediate medical aid, and the man was taken to Clinton Hospital, where he died. The officer involved in the shooting has been placed on administrative leave, which is customary in such cases, Ames said. ISP detectives Ryan Winters and Don Curtis, with the aid of Sergeant Michael Fotherling, CSI Sergeant Tim Rader, and CSI Michael Organ, will conduct the investigation. When they complete their work, they will submit a report to the Vermilion County Prosecutor's Office. Agencies assisting also included the Clinton City Police Department, Vigo County Sheriff's Office, and Vermilion County Prosecutor's Office. Next story, several events scheduled for the Danville Public Library, written by a staff reporter in Danville. Another busy week is upcoming for the Danville Public Library, located at 319 North Vermilion Street. 10 special events are scheduled in addition to a couple of ongoing challenges. Tuesday is Tween It Tuesday with the library hosting a fun program for tweens. This week is board game night. Tweens can play their favorite board game with their friends. This will take place in the program room at 4:30 p.m. for ages 8 through 12. Also on Tuesday is Wee Wigglers, story time, action, rhymes, stories, and songs for children ages 5 and under will be at 10 p.m. in the program room. On Wednesday, there is a rainbow playgroup with socialization, play, and STEAM activities for toddlers from 10 to 11 a.m. in the program room. There's also the Teen Writing Club, as journals and pens will be provided for teen writers, along with writing prompts from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. in the YA area. And it's also Wordy Wednesday. A variety of word puzzles are available all day at the second floor reference desk. Next Friday, May 2nd, will be LARPing on the lawn. Channel your inner William Wallace from Braveheart with help from the local LARPing community and Anytime Fitness from 5 to 7 p.m. on the library's west lawn. Sounds like a lot of stuff. We'll run through the community briefs. Summer market begins May 17th. The Danville Farmers Market is pleased to announce the summer market season for 2025 will begin Saturday, May 17th, and run for every Saturday through October 4th. The hours will be from 8 a.m. until noon, and the site is DIY Storage Building at 2721 North Vermilion. The market will feature 30 to 50 vendors every Saturday, a food truck, a kids activity booth, and other special activities events. The Danville Farmers Market will accept Link and other and offer a free matching voucher to purchase fruits and vegetables for every dollar you use on Link purchases. There is also a Danville Farmers Market loyalty program, which awards $2 in farmer market bucks for every $20 spent at the market. Danville Farmers Market bucks can be used as gift cards as a way of saving for future purchases. For more information, email Danville's Farmers Market 2017@gmail.com. And Vermilion County seeks commissioners. The Vermilion County Commissioners created the Junior County Commissioners to get advice and ideas from students on things like parks, recreation, entertainment, traffic, sheriff, festivals, trails, environmental stewardship, and other social issues. The Junior Commissioners must be students attending either North Vermilion High School or South Vermilion High School, and there will be three between the grades levels of 9 to 12. Students will learn leadership skills, improve their chances for scholarships, learn how county government operates, and see how they can influence government activities in order to make a positive difference in the community. This is a non-paid advisory position serving from August to July. It is estimated the students will need 2 to 4 hours a month during the school year attending meetings, participating in functions, and studying for meetings. Regular commissioners meetings are held on Tuesdays of each month at 6 p.m. at the Vermilion County Courthouse in Newport, Indiana. Students interested in becoming a junior commissioner should contact the principal's office at either North Vermilion or South Vermilion High School by June 1st. And one more, vendor market set for May 3rd. Pratt's Vendor Market is planned for Saturday, May 3rd from 10 to 6 p.m. at Ellsworth Park. The event is free and will feature more than 130 vendors, face painting, and much, much more. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, April 24th, 2025. Looks like it's going to be a good weekend. Maybe a little rain. It's the marathon weekend here in Champaign-Urbana, so beware of the traffic. Anyway, I hope y'all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.